Shabbat Shalom. We were out for 2 weeks, but it feels like 2 years. So good to see you. So good to be part of the congregation and to worship the Lord together. This is a great opportunity to be here. So I want to talk today from the Torah portion Pinchas, Numbers 25. And I will not say anything new, nothing new, everything you know already, I promise you. But it's good to refresh our memory. It's good to see the place of the scriptures. It's good to dig in the scriptures. So let's go together. And today's Torah portion starts from the chapter 25, Numbers, from the verse 10. But before we will go there, I want to speak about choice in our life, choices and consequences of our choice. But before, I want to take a few minutes and refresh the story from the chapter 25, from the verse 1. What's happening there? So we need to understand, to remember this. The story relates the intense desire of the wicked king Balak to destroy the nation of Israel. This was his tension. He tried to destroy people of Israel. And Balak was smart enough to understand very important truth. He realized that as long as God is with Israel, and as long as his protection is over his people, no one can prevail against Israel. This he understood it very well, very clear. So he hired prophet Balaam to curse the people of Israel, so that the Lord will remove his protection from Israel. And you know this story. Who remembers the donkey? One of the most famous donkeys in the world. Balaam's donkey. But when that plan failed, Balak moved to plan B, launching another, even more cunning plan of destruction. And you know this, what's happened there. Balak followed the advice of Balaam, seducing the sons of Israel into fornication with women of Moab, and through this into a covenant with the false god Baal Peor. This is actually chapter 25. And I want to read it to remind for us what's happening here. It was really tragic situation in the Israel. Chapter 25 from the verse 1. While Israel was staying in Sittim or Shittim, the people began to have immoral sexual relations with women from Moab. Then they invited the people to the sacrifices of their gods. So the people were eating and bowing down before their gods. When Israel became bound to Baal of Peor, this is false god, the anger of Adonai grew hot against Israel. Adonai said to Moses, "Seize all the ringleaders and hand them before Adonai facing the sun, so that Adonai's fierce anger may be turned away from Israel." So Moses said to the judges of Israel, "Each of you kill your men who have been joined themselves to Baal of Peor." And the verse 6, amazing verse. I mean, how can it be? What's it happening here? Then behold, a man from Bnei Israel came and brought a Midianite woman to his brothers before the eyes of Moses and of the whole assembly of Bnei Israel, while they were weeping at the entrance of the tent of meeting. Can you imagine this picture? So people are crying, weeping, praying to the Lord, and this man, he brought a Midianite woman in front of the whole nation of Israel. Verse 7, when Pinhas, son of Eleazar, son of Aaron the Kohen, saw it, he arose from the midst of the whole assembly, took a spear in his hand, and went after the men of Israel into the tent, and pierced them through, both the Israelite man and the woman's belly. Then the plague among Bnei Israel was stopped. However, 24,000 people were dead because of the plague. So this is the story before the verse 10, chapter of Pinhas. So Balaam's plan worked. Actually, it worked. So he did damage to Israelites. The sons of Israel found favor in the temporary pleasure of this world, and they exchanged God's calling to the temporary pleasant of this world. And as a result, 24,000 people were killed, were dead. I want to read from the chapter 23, the same number. And this is very interesting for me, because this is interesting and ironic in these chapters, that the Lord make use of the false prophet Balaam to give great prophecy upon the Israel. So chapter 23, the verse 19. The Balaam speaks about Jewish people, about Israel. He speaks the prophecy. God is not a man who lies, or a son of man who changes his mind. Does he speak and then not do it, or promise and not fulfill it? Look, I received a command to bless. He has blessed. I cannot change it. No misfortune is to be seen in Jacob, and no misery in Israel. Adonai their God is with them. The king's shout is among them. Beautiful prophecy about protection from the Lord. The Lord is with them. Nobody can touch them. My blessing forward for them. Their future is safe. And chapter 25 starts with the 24,000 people died. Very interesting. What's happening here? Did the Lord make mistake, or did the prophet does not do his job? What's happening here? Of course, it was not the Lord. But every prophecy has the condition. Do you remember the condition of the prophecy? If you will listen the voice of the Lord and keep his commandment. Let's say together, listen and obey. Condition of the prophecy. The Lord is with Israel. Nobody can touch the Israel. Protection over them. But when Balaam, he was knowledgeable in the spiritual world, so what he did? Through the sins of Israel, the presence of the Lord lifted up from Israel. And they were open for enemies' attack in the midst of them. So our enemy knows that an undeserved curse will not come true. He knows that if you and we are with the Lord on his side, the Lord is with us. The enemy knows it. And the power and might of God, protection far exceeds all the enemy might. He is more powerful than all the enemies on this world. The enemy knows it. And I like the 1 Peter chapter 1 from the verse 5. One of my favorite places of scripture. Can you open with me and check with me here? I want to read in Russian, so read with me in English. By trusting, see my Russian begin to be like English here. By trusting, you are being protected by God's power for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. By trusting, you are being protected by God's power. Pay attention here. By whose power? By our trust, our faith, that God's power is in work in our life. Our faith, our trust, our faithfulness, because in the scriptures, that faith, trust, faithfulness is the same idea. When we have faith, we have trust to the Lord, in the Lord. When we have faith in the Lord, we are trust him and be faithful to him. This is the same idea in the scriptures. Our faith is the key to our success, our safety, to all the blessings we enjoy. Through the faith, his power keeping us in the Lord. It's very important to know. And faith is not merely a confession of faith. It is not just a belief that we have. Faith, this is how we think about the Lord, about everything. It's how we act in this world. It's our obedience to the commandments of the Lord. Faith is everything in our life. This is the faith, our trust. Let's say together, trust to the Lord. Faithfulness. When we are grounded in the faith, we are safe. Very simple lesson. Very simple and so important lesson. I imagine the situation then when people left the Lord. They thought, everything is good. We have a prophecy. The Lord promised to bless us, to keep us, to protect us forever. Everything is covered. Look, two chapters later, short time, the Israel opened before enemy. Why? Why? Because the wrong choice, the wrong way to go. So this is very important story for us to remember. To remember in our life how important to do the right choice, to choose the right things to do. One more interesting place of scripture, I like this. James chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. James chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Actually, I believe the name of James, it was Yaakov, yeah? I think if somebody would call Yaakov James, he would look like, okay, who is the James here? James, raise your hand. So very interesting place of scripture here. But he gives greater grace. Therefore it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And the verse 7, therefore submit to God, but resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Two important truths here in the same place of scripture. First, God is in conflict with one who is proud. Doesn't matter, is he believer or not, it doesn't say here. God is opposed to proud one. Actually, he's in conflict with the proud people. And it said here, but gives grace to the humble. Let's say together, opposed to proud and gives grace to humble. And the second truth, therefore, submit to God, but resist the devil. And there are many ways how to resist the devil, but, you know, let's remember the first thing to do, submit to God, and then resist the devil. It's not opposite. I know it's easy to resist somebody, but it's much harder to submit. Submit to the Lord. Submit your life. Submit your ways. Try to follow Him with all your heart, and you will be protected. Then you can resist the devil. Why? Because of not your power, not by your might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Says the Lord. I like this place. Through faith, we are safe. Through God's power, through our faith, we are protected. Amen. I like to read Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. And this is a small list of things we need to be aware of and be careful with. And don't do this. I want to just read, and I don't want to speak about it long, but I want to read it here. From the verse 19, Galatians chapter 5. Now the deeds of the flesh are clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, indecency, idolatry, witchcraft, hostility, strife, jealousy, rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I am warning you, just as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit God's kingdom. But if I proclaim, will inherit or no? If I will resist the devil, but if The Lord says, if you will do this, you will not inherit God's kingdom. Let's say amen for this. It's very simple. Disregarding these warnings will make you an easy target for the enemy. This is what's happened with Israel. Even though the Lord promised them protection, even though the prophet blessed them with these wonderful prophetic words, but it was their decision. They should decide what to do, where to go, with whom to be in unity. It's so important. And the Spirit of the Lord is leading us to the repentance. And I like the word tshuva in Hebrew, repentance, tshuva. Tshuva means returning to faith, way to faith. Let's say together, returning to faith. It means you walk your ways. You had your plans. And most of them, let's say, not so pleasant. Even with the good people, we have our own ways to go. But tshuva, it means I'm returned to the Lord. I made turn 180 degrees. And now I'm walking with the Lord together. Confession of faith, this is not enough. It's not the end. It's only beginning of wonderful journey with the Lord. You know, it would be easy. Everybody who confessed the Lord goes to heaven immediately. But it's not this way here. It's only beginning to walk with the Lord. Amen. And the Lord promised to keep us, to protect us. The Lord has promised to be with us. But it's our decision. This is our part to be with the Lord, to make right decisions in our life. Now, after a confession of faith, we are beginning a great journey in our life. Now we must continue to read the scriptures, serve in our community, bear spiritual fruits, work on our characters, and renounce our loved and habitual sins. Even if we love it so much, we don't have a choice. You know, you remember Caroline said very interesting place of scripture, to love your Lord with all your heart. What does it mean, with all your heart? But if you love the Lord with 50% of your heart, everything, yeah. You know, I like the example when you love your wife and you are faithful, for how much you should be faithful for her? I mean, what if you're faithful 6 days or a week and one day doing something strange, you know? Will it be okay for her? No. With the Lord, the same. If you love the Lord with all your heart, it means continuously, every day of your life, forever, with all your heart. And I want to end with the interesting things here from this place of scripture about our choice. And I want to look at the choice of two people. One was Zimri and another Phinehas. And I want to look in the scriptures about their choices. First, choice of Zimri. And this is the Numbers chapter 25, verse 6. And this is the story. Everybody is weeping. Everybody is crying, praying, asking for forgiveness from the Lord. All nations, they are in fear of the Lord. I mean, it was a fearful moment. 24,000 people died. Can you imagine? It's not one person, it's 24,000. Wrath of God. His judge. Then behold, a man from Bnei Israel came and brought a Midianite woman to his brothers before the eyes of Moses and of the whole assembly of Bnei Israel. So, what he's doing here? What is he doing here? While they're weeping at the entrance of the tent of meeting. So all Israelites were praying and fasting before the Lord, but this one brought a Midianite woman into his tent in front of everybody. I think he was sure in his decision. He was strong in his decision. He wanted to prove something to himself and to the people of Israel. Another man left the assembly of Israel, and in accordance with the Lord's instruction, took a spear in hand and dispatched both Zimri and the Midianite. And what's interesting here, the verses 14, I want to read it here, and 15, we can see the name of this man, who he was. And this is very important for, I think, I believe in the scriptures. The name of the Israelite man killed with the Midianite woman was Zimri, son of Salu. And he was not a regular man. He was a prince of a Simeonite ancestral household. So he was one of the elders of Israel. It was not a simple person. The name of the executed Midianite woman was Cozbi, daughter of Zur. He was the tribe head of an ancestral house of Midian. So in Hebrew, Zimri means my son. My son. Son to the Lord, my son. And the name of Midianite woman was Cozbi. It means deceptive, delusive. Can you see the picture here? The scriptures paint a picture for us. So the one who was called to be leader of Israel, who was called to worship the Lord, his name was my son. He was deceived by the woman named Zimri. Her name was deceptive one. She was created to be deceptive. And Zimri fell under the pressure of lust and skillful deception, Cozbi, and eventually died right in the middle of the camp. What's happened with him? And when I think about this situation, I thought about it and I tried to understand him, why he did it. My opinion, it's my opinion, I think he was sure that he is doing the right thing. He was sure. He tried to prove everyone he's right. And many people were tired of Moses. If you read the scriptures, you know. Moses, you are guilty. Moses, he was one of the guilty ones in whole Israel, in everything. So many people were tired of Moses. They wanted to eat good food. They want to have freedom. And they want to act like other nations around them. It was their wishes. They want to do it. Zimri was tired of religion and everything connected with the Lord. And I noticed so many people, some people I noticed that they don't want to do anything with God. You know, they're tired from the Lord. They're trying to do their own stuff, going this their own ways. But he made a wrong choice. Let's say together, he made a wrong choice. Why? We know why. He was killed there. It was obvious the wrong choice. But for him in that moment, he thought he did right things. Actually, I think many people of Israel, they look at him like, let's do it, come on. We are with you. Women of Moab, they're good. Food is great. So many years we are thirsty. We want to eat good food. But he made a wrong choice. And Israelites believed that they had found friends in the Moabites, found family. They thought, why? Because, you know, they are so kind to us. They're giving us food, they're giving us women, they're giving us everything we need. If we will choose between wilderness and here, we'll stay here. It's much pleasant here. People to love them, good food, somebody who will take care of them. They were looking for love in all their own places. But you know, the reality is so different. This was only the trap. Can you imagine? Everything was just drama. It was play. It was trap for them. They went into the trap and 24,000 people died. And if you read the scriptures here, it said the Lord was so angry at them they were in the age of destruction, whole Israel. Because of Pinchas, Israel survived. Whole Israel, not only 24,000, but millions of people survived because of Pinchas, his decision, his choice. It was so dangerous for Israel. And when I'm thinking about it, I'm feeling this fear, because the same choice we have in our lives every day, we need to choose the right things in our life. Because sometimes we make wrong decisions and we don't think about future, about consequences in future. Who knows what will be there? Maybe we'll be good. The Lord blessed us already. He promised to keep us, to protect us. But we need to remember, that the Lord is with us when we are with Him. His protection over us when we are with Him. It's very important to remember. This was only the trap. We destroyed their calling and ruined their lives. The price was too high. Too high price. And I mean, Zimri was sure that he's right. And I know that people who are proud, who are in rebel, they are sure they're doing right. But humble ones, they're always asking, Lord, please forgive me. Show me where I'm going, what I'm doing. Am I right before you? This is very important. This is why we are a community congregation, because we have a shepherd, the Lord, and we have shepherds here, Rabbi David, because why? We are together as sheep. We need each other. We need to have sometimes disarguments with each other. You know why? Because we need to know who we are. We need to look in the mirror in our lives. Amen. Today is the same. When we take an easy way of sin and rebellion, it may appear pleasant, even profitable, but it's the end is very, price is too high. Let's say together, price is too high. And second choice of Phinehas, and I will end with the choice of Phinehas. Phinehas was the man who ended Zimri's life as God has commanded him. So he was important person. I want to read about him also later. But I want to take a moment here. Can you imagine how attractive this idea must have been to the rebellious Israelites, to worship Baal Peor, to have food, to have everything? And how unpopular was the idea to fight for the Lord in that moment? If you remember when people came to the Promised Land, and 12 spies went to the Promised Land, and they came back. Whole Israel against two people. And of course Moses, he was third. And could be Aaron too, so four people. Here the same. Actually, Pinchas was in the minority in the Israel. He was in minority. And he risked his life at that moment. Actually, he went to death. He could be killed in that moment there. But he decided to follow the Lord until the end, even to die for the Lord, because it was his faith. He was rooted in faith, in faithfulness to the Lord. And he did, and he made the right choice. And now we know this is the right choice. Why? Because the Lord blessed him. And I want to read it, actually, this chapter, verse 10, Numbers 25. Then Adonai spoke to Moses, saying, Phinehas, son of Eleazar, son of Aaron, the Kohen, has turned away my anger from Bnei Israel, because he was very zealous for me among them, so that I did not put an end to Bnei Israel in my zeal. Can you imagine? The Lord was ready to put an end to Israel because of his zeal. So now say, see, I'm making with him a covenant of shalom. covenant of shalom. You know what's happening there? When he killed this Moabite woman and this elder, the Lord told to Israel, don't touch him. This is my will. I made shalom with him. Don't kill him. So he protected Pinchas from the other people too. Covenant of peace. It will be for him and his descendants after him a covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for his God and atoned for Bnei Israel. Wonderful promise. When we follow the Lord, sometimes it's not profitable. Sometimes it's not. We don't have anything from it. But this is not a question why we are following the Lord. Because He is the Lord. We follow Him because He is the Lord. You know, 1 John chapter 5, I like this verse, from the verse 4. For whoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Who overcomes the world but he who believes that Yeshua is the Son of God? So important to make right choices, even if it's not profitable for us. I like this so much. This story tells me so many things here, and I just want to finish here. But we are speaking about our ministry to the Lord. And it often requires sacrifice, and sometimes sacrifice can be great when we follow the Lord. And every day we make a choice. Will we obey the Lord, or will we go our own way? And, you know, when I'm thinking about Israelites, something happened in their heads of the Jewish people in the wilderness. They kept forgetting that the Lord was not their servant, but He was their Lord. You know why? Because they came from Egypt. And Egyptian gods, they are served to people. If you have problem, you go to Egyptian God, he answers you. If you have problem here, you go there, and he answers you. But here we see the Lord is our God, and he is leading us, because he is our Lord. So I want to finish here, and the wonderful story about our choices and consequences of our choices. So we should be very careful in our life, I believe. We need to see future for us. We need to keep choosing the right thing in our life. Amen. Even if it's not profitable for us, the right choice will bring blessing from the Lord. The wrong could ruin our life. So we need to be careful, and we need to really look at these places. So let's end the service with a prayer. Avinu Malkeinu, our Heavenly Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for Yeshua. Thank you for opportunity to follow you and to be your sons and daughters, Lord. Thank you for forgiveness and for atonement, Lord. Thank you for Yeshua the Messiah. Thank you for eternal life and mercy upon our lives. We want to follow you, Lord. We want to do right choices, Lord. We want to follow you in right directions, Lord. We want to be with you. B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen. Amen. So let's close with the Aaronic benediction. Yeah, we already did. Mike, I'm glad you're here. You actually, Mike, it's a miracle. It's so huge miracle. We're so glad. Donna, mazel tov. It's like a second wedding, you know, after. Hallelujah. Let's close the meeting with the prayers. Yeverechecha Adonai veishmerecha. Yaher Adonai panavelecha vichunecha. Yisa Adonai Pana velecha ve'yasem lecha Shalom. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up his face upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, his peace. In the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen.
Shabbat Shalom.